In a world where fake news has become prevalent, more seasoned journalists and journalism educators like me worry about young people and their ability to separate fact from fiction. After a recent conversation with two high school juniors, I don't know if those fears are properly placed. This is David Fortier with Ben and Abigail Stock, juniors, siblings, and twins from Rocky Hill High School in Rocky Hill, Connecticut. We sat down to talk about the news and social media this past week after school. I had just presented a short talk as the guest speaker for the newly inaugurated Human Rights Club, the topic, how to tell fake news from real news. The group would like to advocate for human rights and wanted some advice dealing with fake news for two reasons. They wanted to make sure they were well informed, and they wanted to be able to enter into dialogue with people who might have succumbed to fake news. Ben is a club member. Abigail is the club's president. We started our conversation about when and where and how they go about informing themselves. By the end of the conversation, they were giving advice to their elders about how to grapple with social media. I picked up a few tips myself. We start the conversation with Ben, who shares his news habit.
Well, if I was trying to get my news, I'd usually go on, usually the New York Times. I usually go on there and look up news. Or sometimes they have like a lot of shows on TV, especially like last week tonight with John Oliver. I watch him a lot. He's a good credible source. Also, I don't really rely. I kind of go back and forth on both CNN and Fox News to get both sides of the story. You can kind of come up with a compromise between both of them if you really look like hard enough and see like, and the truth usually comes out that way. So that's how I determine like which news, what news I get, and like how credible it is.
Similar to my brother, I like to look at both sides of, you know, right wing and left wing, and I also think sometimes it is also what our parents watch, and you know, not always having, I mean, yes, we both see both Fox and CNN, but we also see NBC, see even the Today Show, you know, every, you know, most mornings, and so it's that factor of where what is in the house is something that is relatively diverse, but we're kind of, I guess, very lucky to be able to have the option to go and look at other ones or know that there are other options. I also like to watch The Daily Show. I mean, the Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Maybe what my mood is and kind of what I want to look up. And usually New York Times, Washington Post, and I have, like, on my phone updates.
It seems unusual for me that you guys would be so invested in the news. What kind of spurred that interest?
Well, I'm interested in like what's going on in the world, and I think it's important for us to like learn and adapt to like different views and different opinions and know actually what's going on, because a lot of people don't, and that's really sad. And you know, the more you know, the more you can like challenge yourself and become more like knowledgeable about the world and how people act, how people think, how like the government works or other government works. And also to answer like the whole newspaper thing. Yeah, we usually get newspapers, usually New York Times, Harvard Current, and like usually like every morning, one of our parents are watching like either NBC, The Today Show, or CBS this morning. Usually every morning, so before we go to school, so that's how it usually works.
I feel like my brother kind of has always been into the news. I actually just recently kind of really got into it. It wasn't when I was younger very much of an interest. But now that I'm kind of so exciting to be able to know about what's going on, and, you know, at first you're kind of like, you really don't know what's going on in the news, and even my friends, if you don't really know or understand, it does almost seem boring, but when you start to really understand what's going on and really get how things are being formed and why people are doing this, and also me, I also like to question, you know, what's going on, and I do think that every day I like to learn something new, and I don't know all the answers, so why would I say that my opinion is right when there's so much more I need to learn? And so I think that that's something my family and both my brother and I have in common, where, you know, he'll show me something and I'll show him something that we both thought was really interesting, or, And that's something that you don't always hear about, but I think also the people we are around, my friends, we like to actually have discussions on, you know, what's going on in the world. And I've always been very interested in the international kind of aspects and the global viewpoints and what people are thinking besides the U.S. And, you know, my brother as well, he likes to, I feel, look at the political sides and government, and I've always kind of gone to him for the government kind of questions and history questions. So that's something that I think, honestly, if you are interested in it, I think that's why. I think always having a family that is discussing things in a very mature way as opposed to fighting on who's right or who's wrong, I think that's something that we're very favored for and kind of very lucky for, because we have very different viewpoints in all of our family, and being able to kind of come together and say, you know, well, my opinion is this and this is why, and just being able to, now that we're older, be able to actually talk a part of these dinner conversations and be able to be a part of it and participate, and people actually kind of take us for, and actually really understand our opinions and take them as actual ones, as opposed to when you're young, to kind of like look at you as a whatever, you're a little kid. So, and now that we're kind of getting older, it's a little bit more nice to be more responsible for our own opinions and decide what we believe in. So
can you give me an example of this dinner time conversation, or an issue that you kind of agree to disagree on?
Well, we every month go to my nana's house, and that's a great time to converse about things. And sooner or later during the dinner time, we usually have a time where, you know, my nana will bring up Trump, the President Trump, and bring up things that she doesn't really always believe in, and or one of my family members will be saying, you know, wow, you know, what is he talking about? Or, you know, she might say something, and then we both, my brother and I, you know, now kind of knowing, you know, the facts and learning our own ways of how to understand what's real and what's not, being like, yeah, that's not really true, Nana, you know, or it's kind of funny to be able to kind of come back, and it's almost like a challenge of our own opinions, because, you know, from an older standpoint, I think that, you know, my Nana and my older kind of family members are taking their opinions, and which is great, but I also think being able to show them a newer generation's viewpoints and how we're a little bit more free thinkers and understanding the critical aspects of what opinions are, it's a lot different.
I feel like the older generations are, like, more naive to, like, how social media really works. And not in the sense of, like, how to work it, but in the sense of, like, what information you're getting, because they've been so used to, like, the news being correct all the time since they were kids. And now that this new platform of, like, information comes out, is now they believe everything that's on there, because they have the idea that, like, oh, because since this is news, it's news, because that's how it's been forever since they were little. So now that they're older and they hear these stories, they believe them more. And that's why they also make, like, irrational decisions on who they're voting for, or, like, what they believe and what they think is true and not true.
Do you have a specific example of that?
Some examples could be, like, so the whole Trump thing, the Trump presidency, some things that, like, that are said in the news, such as, like some of the things, some of the claims he makes, some of my family members may, like, older family members may agree, and not just, like, the news has, like, portrayed that as, like, his external view, like, now that they're all, it's all about shock value, so they're more lenient to, like, oh, he's terrible because he did this, oh, he's terrible because he did that. And obviously some things he does is terrible, but the media also, like, takes it to the extreme. Some of, like, his anti-Semitic views, the travel ban especially, that was a big topic in, like, January, so. And it's not far, like, a lot of things he says is not far off from what other Republicans say, but the way he says it is why people take it out of proportion, and, like, the media makes it out of proportion. And that's also why I think that the Trump administration needs to, like, get a grip of itself, and also, like, the media needs to get a grip of itself and tell itself what's true and what's not true, and, like, what's the real important issues, instead of just making money off what people say because it's for shock value and for entertainment.
Also, just to add on to that, I know going to my friend, my best friend lives in Tennessee, going there, religion is everywhere. You know, it's kind of their lifestyle, and so not saying that that's a bad thing, but it's, again, another viewpoint that I'm lucky enough to be able to look at and observe, because not everybody is able to observe that here. Being able to see that there's a whole different side to the country, which I think is very interesting and kind of scary, that we don't really know even the other side of the country as much as we think we do. So that also leads into the stereotyping and kind of judgment of southern states, western states, northern states here. So I think that's something that's very funny, how even in our own country, we don't really know everybody that's, or really know what's going on everywhere.
So what would be your advice when it comes to social media and your elders?
One of the biggest things is just keeping an open mind on what's going on and kind of understanding that, you know, you might not be comfortable with everything that's going on yet, but that's kind of reality, and that's for the real world. Not everything's going to be comfortable, so.
I think that the best way to handle the older generations is to teach them just as much as the younger generation, and all the ways we can use social media to improve our, like, understanding of the news and what's good news and what's bad news. And rather than opinion-based and emotionally-based, more use our reasoning behind it. Use the skills to pick out what is bad news and what's good news and what's fake and what's real.
There you have it. Two high schoolers who defy the stereotype and offer hope for a more informed future. Thank you, Ben Stock and Abigail Stock of the Rocky Hill High School Human Rights Club. Thank you, members of the Human Rights Club, for sitting through what might have been an onerous presentation. And thanks, finally, to the club's faculty advisor, Bonnie Natupsky, for the invitation. This is David Fortier from the Multimedia and the Social Role of Journalism website.